this afternoon with opportunity for Ms. Ward to conclude some of her comments based upon the material which she had prepared for us, and also on the comments that have been made by representatives of the Oregon Medical Association and CNA regarding medical malpractice and claims experience here in the state of Oregon. Ms. Ward.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, members of the subcommittee, for the record, I'm Leslie Ward, legislative staff for program evaluation. I submitted to the committee staff earlier a set of exhibits that were requested yesterday. And I'd like to go over those first with you. The first exhibit shows total premiums collected by CNA from Oregon physicians adjusted for inflation. And that's adjusted for the general consumer price index and for the medical cost price index only. And that is using a base year of 1978 and then adjusting the dollars for 1979 through 1986 back to 1978 dollars. That exhibit shows that from 1978 to 1986, overall price increases were about 68%, and medical cost increases were 98%. That is, medical costs approximately doubled during that period. When total premium collections from Oregon physicians are adjusted for inflation, it shows that 1986 premium collections were $13.2 million. That is, in inflation-adjusted terms, 1986 premium collections were less than 1978 premium collections.
Do that again, if you
everybody,
would.
Everybody with me? Okay. 1978 premium collections were $13.9 million. Okay. Now, all of the future years are then adjusted back to 1978 dollars. Okay. So that when you look at 1986 premium collections in 1978 dollars, there are $13.3 million. So in constant dollars, premium collections were the same in 86 as they were in 78. When the adjustment is, and the average premium collected per physician then is also the same in constant dollars. When premium collections were adjusted using the medical cost price index only, then the deflation is even more, so that in 1986 premium dollars were premium collections were $11.3 million. In constant dollars, adjusted for increases in medical cost. Okay.
Well, it's too bad no one from the OMA is here.
Mr.
Guess
Chair,
it's not
question.
An issue anymore. Representative Hamlin?
Leslie, can you tell us the composition of the medical cost price index?
I can't tell you all the specific parts of it. Generally, it includes all medical care, all medical services, hospital, physicians, and
drugs.
Other health care. And then something. The other part's called medical care commodities.
Well, is that separate? That's not in here?
No, they're both in here. They're both in the final index, but both parts go into that final index. In general, the services component is the larger component and the more inflationary.
Chair. Representative Hamlin.
Just a comment that figure, the rate of change in medical cost price index, each year, I said it before, but each year in this country, I think the figure is 10.5 cents out of every dollar that any of us spend, whether we are public or private, is paid for items within the medical cost price index. To give you an idea of the magnitude of that figure, the latest reported figure I believe, is 1986, is equivalent to $420 billion. 10 cents out of every dollar spent.
Okay. Go on.
Okay, moving right along.
Okay. There are three additional exhibits in the copies you were given, and all of those deal with the effect of the cap on non-economic damages. The first one is simply a correction of the original exhibit that shows the effect of a $300,000 cap. The corrections are trivial. There were two instances in 1980 and 1983 where some indemnity in excess of $1 million was paid. It amounts to a total of $17,000, and it makes no substantial effect on the overall effect of the $300,000 cap, which would have reduced CNA's losses somewhere in the neighborhood of 1 to 2%, depending on what you assume the average portion of a claim that represents non-economic loss is. The second exhibit shows the effect of a $400,000 cap on non-economic damages, and that was prepared at the request of Representative Fund. Obviously, the effect of a larger cap, making the same assumptions, would be less. Depending on what percent you assume for non-economic loss, the effect of a $400,000 cap on past claims for CNA would have been less than 1%, anywhere from 0.6% to 0.01%. The final exhibit on caps shows the effect of several different caps, 500,000, 400,000, and 300,000, assuming that non-economic damages are 50% of total damages. That's the highest estimate I had used previously was 45%. I've upped it to 50 simply to give you a wider range. And that simply shows that even using that assumption, a $500,000 cap would be practically negligible. A $400,000 cap would have reduced prior losses by about 1%. And a $300,000 cap would have reduced prior losses by about 3%. When Mr. Durnetti testified on May 26th about other estimates of the effect of a cap, he was basically referring to studies that used entirely different assumptions than I have used here. He referred to an actuarial study commissioned by the OMA, which basically assumed that total losses would have been much higher than, had limits much higher than $1 million. Therefore, if you have put losses up to $5 million on any given claim, then you will clearly increase the potential effect of a cap. He referred to another study done by Patricia Danson of the RAND Institute that looked at a variety of medical malpractice reforms and general tort reforms in all states over the entire period from 1975 through 1984, and suggested that her finding was that a cap on damages would reduce claim severity by 23%. The methodology in that study does not allow you to say that if you impose a cap, claim severity will fall 23%. What it says is that on average, all states that impose some kind of a cap, and it treated all caps of whatever their level was equally, that is, you got a score for having a cap, no matter whether it was $100,000 or $500,000. On average, all those states that had caps over that period of time had 23% less claim severity than they would otherwise have had, not that they had 23% less than states that had no cap. So it's a widely quoted study and a widely quoted statistic, but the methodology of the study was very complicated, and you have to be careful in how you interpret that statistic. I just wanted to point that out. Mr. Chairman, unless there are questions, that concludes my comments. The other comments that I would make in response to Mr. Drunetti's testimony are generally minor and technical, and I'd prefer to submit them in writing unless, in the interest of saving time, you have other.
Okay, that'd be fine. I would appreciate if you'd be kind enough to share a copy of this latest documentary material to Mr. Drunetti or whoever the representative of OMA is around to receive it today.
Okay.
And so they, if they want to respond further, we'd certainly give them that opportunity, particularly in terms of the analysis of the average premium, total premium, and matched against the cost of living adjustments.
Okay.
As well as the medical cost of living increase adjustments.
Okay.
If there are no further questions, thank you very much, Ms. Ward.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. We're hoping to get into a work session on the insurance provisions of 323 and 324. We need a quorum to do that. We don't have a quorum.
When is session?
Right now.
Well, why don't we adjourn and go down to session and round the boys up and find out what's going on?
Okay. We'll be in recess. I just want to point out each member should have a copy of section-by-section description of the provisions as it relates to insurance in 323 and 324, and then we also have another category which are listed on one of the easels, and then we also have a list of amendments, at least to the extent that they're known to us as it relates to the insurance issues in 323 and 324. So we'll be in recess until we are able to be joined by other members of the subcommittee on the floor session. We're at the point where we're going to try to begin a work session on the insurance issues, and we've asked counsel Ms. Weber to list on our large board on our left the sections of Senate Bill 323 that relate to insurance regulation generally. Those issues are spelled out also in a form that's shared with members at their desks. It lists the section-by-section analysis, or not analysis, but identification of those sections. And we also have on our easel to the right other issues regarding liability insurance, some of them raised but not addressed by the Senate, by the task force. Some have been raised in amendments in other committees or amendments suggested to this committee. Those are also provided on a sheet before us. And we have a list of amendments and a package of amendments, I believe. Call the House. So, we'll be in recess.
Tom, are you on tonight?
We have, as I mentioned before, our last call, until 5 o'clock today, and throughout all of tomorrow, at least the time that's available to us, we're going to make as much effort as we can to review the insurance reform issues presented in 323 and 324. And we've got an outline of those before the members as well as up on the board. And I'd like to go ahead and proceed with section by section of the issues in 323 and 324, then proceed to the other issues that have been identified as with other sources, and then review the amendments. Of which there are many relating to insurance issues. Let's go ahead and start. I hope everyone's got their copy of 323 C version before them. If you have extra copies, members are missing that. And counsel, I believe the first section is section 32, which deals with the definition of, excuse me, Representative Dix, do you need a copy of the bill?
I just put more out here.
I had my bills.
Here's the stand.
Oh, I know, but I just had my bills here.
Okay. Okay, Section 31 actually is the beginning point where it adds Section 32 as part of the insurance code. It doesn't specify where. Section 32 includes the definitions of commercial liability insurance. Counsel, do you recall, were there any discussions or comments regarding the definition of commercial liability insurance or amendments that address that subject?
There are some amendments that address the subject. We have a list of amendments in front of you. In fact, I have packets of amendments. I probably should distribute now.
Yes, why don't we distribute the packets of amendments now?
There's another one that hasn't been duplicated. I just received it this afternoon. That has some changes in it.
Okay. Can we get a copy of that amendment also?
Or yeah.
Is that the amendment that Representative Burton requested to be prepared?
Yes.
Okay. Why don't we? How soon can we get copies of that?
They sent them out to get duplicated. I'll see if they're back in.
Okay. And the Dash 48 amendments.
Chair, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
You're losing me in a sea of paper.
Okay, well, Representative Hanlon, you see the chart over there. You got the bill?
Yep.
Section 32.
Got it.
Definition of commercial liability insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, council advises that the dash, among the packet of amendments you received.
I've got four sets of papers here.
Okay. Have you got a package of amendments with a large paper clip?
Yep.
Okay. If you thumb through that package of amendments, the Dash 48 amendments.
48?
Dash 48.
Uh-huh.
Amends the definition that is listed in Section 32.
I just moved the lien bill out of the Senate Judiciary, so that's...
No excuse.
Congratulations.
Which?
I'm not sure. That means it's coming this way.
Great.
Mr. Chairman, will the source of the amendments or the policy reason for them be suggested by staff or committee members?
I certainly hope so.
With a computer
mess.
What I got?
10 megabytes.
Okay, well, we're awaiting copies of the larger set of amendments which impact this definition. Council, on the Dash 48 amendments, could you identify the proponent or Rep. St. Bunn has requested some identity?
Mr. Chairman, I want some background on why it's suggested we have it.
Okay, I met with the insurance commissioner's staff and we went through the bill section by section. I believe he talked about this, Bob Miller, when we had him testify here. They had a list of amendments from the insurance lobbyist that we walked through. This is part of the suggested amendments.
Okay, just
Chairman. Rep. St. Bunn.
I assume from my reading of the amendment, and I'd like to have counsel comment. I assume we want to go beyond business and include professional, nonprofit, or governmental, because then the controls we put on that help with the commercial insurance will help not only businesses but also the professional, nonprofit, and government. Is that correct?
That's correct. They were thinking that the definition was unclear in specifying and adding that it also that business also meant professional, nonprofit, and governmental would clarify the language in the bill.
Okay, Mr. Chairman.
Could I interrupt just a second? Is it an unreasonable request that the insurance commissioner's office be in attendance since we're making major changes that affect them?
That's not unreasonable.
I didn't mean to interrupt, Representative Bond, but I just think it's amazing that here we are writing a package that's going to impact them for the next 2 years. And they aren't here.
Well,
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hanlon.
With all respect, we've been kind of spotty this afternoon in getting started.
That's a good definition.
Well, that's one word. Hemorrhage may be another word that applies before we finish, but Representative Hanlon, or if we want to stand at ease for a moment, I'd be glad to direct counsel to go ahead and make a phone call and see if we can invite Mr. Miller or someone to join
us. I would recommend that if we're going to contact them, we contact them, but we go right on. This is a small enough amendment we can just zip.
But I didn't mean to delay it. I just think as we go through the whole package, they ought to be sitting out there, thumbs up or down.
If you would accept the motion, I would move adoption of the amendment.
Let us address other amendments that relate to this section, maybe before we get to actual adoption of amendments. Council, I understand, and we're waiting the duplication of those other sets of amendments. While we're waiting that duplication, and these just came up today, which is why we don't have copies of them, could we call the insurance commissioner's office and see if they intend to have someone over here?
All right.
So I invite them to do so.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Dan, those are these. These are those.
Okay.
That's those.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Bond.
While we're waiting also, I just have a suggestion for the Chair's consideration. I think it might be helpful that at the end of each day, we get a list of the amendments we've adopted, just a one-liner list, so that we can keep ongoing track of what we've done.
Council advises me that to the extent she has the resources and the time, she intends to, I think, not only provide that list, but also to try to provide a hand-engrossed copy of the amendments that we have adopted on a daily basis.
Now, if I get off on the deep end, you can keep me straight.
Okay. Yeah, what's going on?
Anybody care about this bill?
Oh, we got one, two insurance guys here. Maybe one. Three, four, maybe. Not in my district.
They're working on it. Or are you working on it?
I'm working on it. Are we on a recess, or?
We're at ease.
We're in a Diet Coke run.
Diet Coke run? Well, I can go across the floor. They're going to look up there and say, why the hell aren't you on the floor? I'm supposed to be carrying a bill back.
Yes, you are.
That's all right. It's not a good day to carry a bill.
I know.
That's for sure.
It's Thursday. Really. It's great fun.
What
are
you doing? I don't know what's going on. Who did?
I thought she supported committee chairs.
I said, what did you do that for? She said, you have a fabulous program. And I said, the only car, it's going to hurt the family.
Well, I was almost always wear tires that do it.
She goes,
no. Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
That's certainly somebody I'd follow.
That seals it there. Pardon the use of the term.
Yeah, you could have been a little better.
The kind of commission.
Well, we're losing the great interest we had.
On one side,
the bill.
Of course, that's the same everywhere almost. Except in my county, where they're both on the same side.
Yeah, well, they won't get interested in this. It's being over the head. I've been down whipping on it. Hey, why don't you guys go home? That's what they keep telling me. Nobody cares, Dave.
Advised earlier today, put on notice that we were going to begin our work session, and apparently there are members of the insurance commissioner's staff, including the insurance commissioner and the head of the Department of Commerce, apparently over here in some committee. We put out the word again that we would like them to join us, but council has distributed the -48 amendments, which relate to Section 32, and we do have a copy, I believe, of the amendments that you have
had drafted the Dash 73 amendments.
Could I just for a second explain that?
Sure.
At that point, the Dash 73. I'm afraid I haven't been looking. I hadn't noticed the LC numbers on these bills when I got this one back. I looked at that and I realized there was a great deal that is going on that I really hadn't realized again. What I had done in some of the meetings that had been occurring on these questions is I jotted some notes down that were there and that involved some discussions that we all had. There were some discussions, including the insurance commissioner, and then I asked LC. I said, I realize that there's some amendments floating around. If they exist, put those in, but here's what we wanted, what I thought was there. It was an attempt to kind of draw together a bunch of things. If I have misinterpreted, overinterpreted, underinterpreted anything, it's simply an error, but I thought there was some general agreement from sections 34, from section 34 plus these other ones that this represented, and that's why it was here. And I don't know if it duplicates other amendments that or LC drafts that have been done, and I apologize, but it was an attempt to pull all that together. And which I don't have. Did you have that letter that I sent down to LC?
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Bunn.
These amendments obviously cover not only the area that we're dealing with, the Dash 73 amendments, but several other sections.
Yeah, it's
would it be possible, as we're dealing with them, to take only a section at
yes.
a time?
Yes, that's how I would like to proceed, just section by section in the bill, try to deal with the amendments that relate to those sections by the section, rather than proceed through any long list of amendments kind of in a scattered fashion. And hopefully we may have someone from the insurance commissioner's office join us. Council has prepared, at least begun to prepare, kind of a section by section analysis of the substantive provisions of the insurance change, which there are copies of that being made for us now, so we can review those. I think she's explained the significance of the changes as well as identifying any policy issues that are a part of that.
Just tell him when he gets here.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, you run that shop, don't you? Huh?
What is this? Oh, okay, there we go. I suppose it's actually something.
I asked someone to copy it. I don't know where they're going with it. That's all I can say. They were making packets or something.
Could we, who's the LC that's doing this stuff? Is that John Robinson?
Mostly, yeah.
Did she be out here? Great. Might you call her too? She's available to come up.
Can't figure this out.
She does.
No. Oh, I gotta go carry the bill, guys.
What? We got a bill on the floor. I'll be right. I'll be quick. I want to tell them this vote works.
This thing called the House of Representatives that keeps getting in our way and getting everything done.
Blue pants.
Can I do it for you?
You say you are.
She said you tried to get away, huh?
Yeah. Okay, I got a call right now.
Chair's the call?
You want me to handle the committee while you're voting?
What did you say, Representative?
Well, we're at ease awaiting the representative of the insurance commissioner's office and counsel to return. Representative Hanlon.
They're out of trouble.
Oh,
okay.
You made that pretty clear.
Vice chair is getting tough with you. And I'll be back on directive. Thank you. We're considering the Dash 48 amendments, and I understand Representative Burton has also supplied you with a somewhat extensive amendment, number one, and I think I'm just restating what Vice Sub-Chair Dix just said, but we've The chairman has asked that someone from the insurance commissioner's office monitor us on insurance tort reform so that whenever we discuss any portion of the bill related to your department, that you're here. That would be very helpful. I wonder, counsel, when we were on dash 48, and Representative Burton, do I understand that your amendment includes dash 48?
No, it does not.
Why don't you explain dash 48 to us to refresh our memories?
Me. Okay, what dash 48 does is it adds to the definition of commercial liability insurance. It clarifies that the word business, which is used in there, also means professional, nonprofit, or governmental entities. And it also adds after property arising out of acts or omissions in the course of a business or profession. These are all aimed at clarifying that we also want to have covered engineers, architects, lawyers, doctors, etc. And it, in turn, provides the parameters of the bill and the types of insurance affected by this bill.
Mr. Miller,
yes.
Is there anything you can do to supplement Ms. Weber's comments?
Probably I was interfering when I didn't have an opportunity.
I'm sorry, Representative Hanlon.